Well, thank you, Meredith, Ray, and Cameron, for this great worship. I thought maybe it would be just a good plan if we continue to sing these songs about praise and worship. I love the words of John Newton, "Amazing Grace, how precious it was the hour I first believed. My chains are off. I've been set free." That's what we're going to talk about this morning as we continue our study in Luke chapter 5. Well, good morning, all. My name is Andrew Sarlo. Great to be with you here, live streaming from Bethel Bible Chapel in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. We're continuing our study, Jesus and His Mission, from the Gospel of Luke today. Our text is Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 39. You know, Luke chapter 5 is a great chapter. Looking back, it kind of culminates this ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ set out in His public ministry at the end of chapter 3. In chapter 4, He stands up in the synagogue and He makes the declaration to all that were around that the Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself, had come for a purpose. His purpose was to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to give sight to those who are blind, as we sang in the song, to take the chains off for those that were bound by the chains of sin, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim that He Himself was the answer to man's problem, to introduce this world to God's amazing grace. So the Lord Jesus Christ continued as He reached out to those around. He cast out demons and He healed those who were sick. And in chapter 5, if you've been with us for the last few weeks, we've studied and we've looked further at Jesus' calling, his campaign of healing and calling as He sets out in chapter 5. I love that even though the Lord preached to multitudes and great crowds, He called individuals to follow Him. He's called them from every walk of life, from every station, from every social criteria. Jesus is calling and has called. In Luke chapter 5, the calls from a real mishmash of people from every walk of life. The examples at the start of the chapel was the chapter was the call of hardcore fishermen, rough guys who left their nets and followed Jesus. Last week we learned about a man that it was leprosy, that picture of sin that just decays everything in us and around us. He was shunned by the world, the paralytic man who could do nothing for himself. And this morning, in today's text, a successful businessman who, with all of his material success, had a need that only the Lord Jesus could fill. The Lord's purpose then and now is to transform hearts, heal us from our sin, and send us out as witnesses of His forgiveness and His transforming power. Let's read about this morning together from Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 39. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It'll be up on our screen on this side, I believe, and you can follow along with me. Verse 27, starting Luke chapter 5. After these things, that's Jesus, He went out and saw a tax collector named Levi, or Matthew, sitting at the tax office. And He said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed Him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against His disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, I love this, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Then He said to them, "Why do your disciples John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And He said to them, that's Jesus, Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from the old garment on a new one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new wine. He says, the old is better. Well, God will bless the reading of His Word. Great chapter as it culminates. Chapter 5, as the Lord is calling and He's healing. Just to keep us organized today through our thoughts, I've got three headings to keep us on track. The first heading I have is the Lord's Call, verses 27 and 28. Then I have a changed life, verses 29 to 34. And why would we return to the old? Verses 36 to 39. So let's jump in and start our study together this morning. The Lord's call. The Lord Jesus had just healed the paralytic man. We heard about this last week. I love the fact that his friends took the roof off. I just love the fact that nothing stood in their way to bring their friend face to face with the only one that could heal him. I love the way Dave asked the million-dollar question last week. What is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? Well, thank and praise God that Jesus has the power to do both. Matthew 28, verse 18, as the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples, giving them the Great Commission, this is what he says. And Jesus spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me, both in heaven and in earth. We read that text last week, that he has the power on earth to forgive sins. Praise God for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 27, after these things, after the healing of the paralytic man, the Lord walks by the tax office and sees Levi, or Matthew. Matthew, Levi's his Hebrew name, sitting at his work. Not sure you want to hang around a tax office too long, especially in those days. Even in these days, we don't want someone to come up with another tax. But Levi was a tax collector. That means that he was a Jewish man that worked for the Roman government. The Roman government was the enemy who by force was occupying the country of the Jewish people. By most, these publicans, as they were called, were seen as traitors to their fellow countrymen. I tell you, whoever it was in the Roman government that came up with the empire's internal revenue system was a genius. The idea was that Jewish businessmen, known as publicans or makis, either paid for or bid on the tax office franchise. If they were awarded the job or the tax office, then they were given the tax levy minimum values by the Roman government. And as long as Rome got their levy, these tax collectors could charge whatever they wanted and keep the overage. Sounds like a pretty good gig. Now, not all these tax collectors were dishonest. There's no indication in our text this morning that Levi was dishonest. But either he was or he wasn't, with no idea from the text. It was considered, and by most, that these were dishonest people, these publicans. The Jewish people still despised and hated them because they were known for their dishonesty. We know from Luke chapter 19 that Zacchaeus, by his own volition, seems to have been one of those dishonest tax collectors. At any rate, It was a lucrative business, and it seems that Levi was well off. That reference comes from verse 29. He put on a great feast for the Lord and for his friends. We are not told what Levi knew about the Lord Jesus. We're not told about any previous conversations or intergaging with him. It would seem, though, from Luke chapter 5 that and verse 15, that the reports of what the Lord was doing had been going out all across the country. So most likely Levi had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. In some of my research, as I was studying this passage, I found out that the tax collectors who would be on the roadway coming into certain areas of the town collected up to 20% of all the fish that came out of the lakes around the port of Capernaum. So it could possibly be that Levi had heard the story about the great catch from the first part of chapter 5, that maybe he even collected the tax of the great catch from Peter and the fellow disciples. It's not known, but as Jesus walks by, he turns to Levi and he says these words, "Follow me." It was the call of God on a heart that needed him so badly. A heart that had found no satisfaction in making money or being a successful businessman. A heart that was possibly longing for liberty from government oppression. A heart that longed to be set free from sin. And I love verse 28. You know, it doesn't say that he added up his day's revenue from the tax gain and then he left. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he made sure he got all his back pay and then he left. It doesn't say that. It says, so he left all, verse 29. So he left all and rose up and followed him. Wow, isn't that amazing? See, with the call of Christ comes conversion. Everything changes. Priorities change. Worldviews change. Desires change. We relinquish our own will and we submit to the lordship of Christ. Charles Wesley wrote these great words, these descriptive words, after his conversion, right after his conversion in 1739. We sing this hymn often here at Bethel Bible Chapel. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my King, should die for me? Verse 4 goes like this. Listen carefully. Maybe this is your heart this morning. Maybe this is an experience you want to happen. Maybe it's an experience that has happened and you need to just revisit it. Maybe it's an experience that has happened to us and we want to relish in the call of God in our life. These are the words in verse 4. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon filled with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. See, that's what happened to Levi that day. As the Lord turned to him and the call of the Spirit on his life and his heart was, follow me. And that quickening ray was diffused by the God of eternity, the one who came to seek and save those that were lost, the one that were seeking sinners to repentance. And he looked at him and the call on his heart diffused this ray of light and a dead man came to life. A dead man came back from being without hope in this world to being a follower and a child of God. And his chains fell off and he walks out and he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when this happened to me in my life, when by the Spirit of God, it was revealed who Jesus was and what he did for me. The fact that he gave us the right from John chapter 1, the authority to be called the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. I remember that. it wasn't overly dramatic, but it was like a light came on. It was like the brightness of God's glory was seen for the first time. And I stopped trying to believe, and I trusted in the only one that can bring satisfaction. What about you? The Lord's calling today. It's the story of the cross that he came. We listened to Paul Rucci this morning talk about the fiery serpent, the brass serpent that was put on a pole for the children of Israel to be saved from these deadly snake bites. And the Lord Jesus Christ making the claim, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. See, he's lifted up on a cross, and he hung between his own earth and his own heaven, the representative for man to bear the sins of the world and his own body on that tree. And he died as a substitutionary sacrifice for us, that he might bring us to God, that he might take our sin away, and that we, through the power of his Spirit, can be enlightened to walk a new life. Maybe it's a call that is coming to you this morning, and you need to respond to that call. Maybe it's a call that came and it's a little rusty and it's a little old, and you need to be re-energized to that call of salvation and freedom. We sang that song, my chains fell off and now I'm free. The fact that we're unshackled by the control of sin and we're free to worship and praise and follow the only one that's worth following. The Lord Jesus Christ makes this claim as he walked this scene. Come unto me, all you that are laboring. A lot of people working hard to get to God. Forget the work. Come to me. You're tired of working? Come to me and I will give you rest. You can rest in the fact that there's a finished work that's done by Jesus on the cross to bring salvation to our poor, sin-sick souls. We move on to verses 29 to 34, a changed life. Well, the first thing that Levi does in verse 29 is that he hosts a big dinner party for his friends and his business acquaintances. He wants to introduce his friends, all his fellow business guys, to Jesus. See, the first sign of conversion is that you want others to know and experience the same salvation that you have. Isn't that great that we're given that great commission to go out into all the world and preach the gospel? I tell this family story of my grandfather, Pietro Criala, who immigrated from Calabria, my mom's dad, in 1912. He came from oppression and spiritual darkness to this country. And he met a man at the paper mill where he worked, and Mr. Park, Willie Park, got him a Bible in Italian, and he pointed him to the Lord. And my grandfather, who trusted the Lord throughout his old lifestyle, he just lived to drink, smoke, and play cards. And he made that claim, I'm not going to drink anymore, I'm not going to smoke, and I'm not playing any more cards. Not saying that there's any reason why you can't play cards or whatever you do, but the point being that there was a change in life, and now he wanted others to hear about it. And we have pictures of my grandfather walking down James Street. He was 4'11", with a sandwich board on each side of his body with an Italian text on it from the Bible, trying to tell and show his countrymen that there was a Savior for them. They didn't have to pay their way into heaven. They didn't have to work their way into heaven. There was a Savior that was calling a free gift of salvation. And that's what Levi did. Matthew had this party. I want all my friends to come and hear Jesus. I want to introduce them to the one who I'm following now. Of course, the religious leaders weren't impressed with this. Their question was, how can you sit down with these publicans, these sinners, these men that were known for their dishonesty? I love the word's answers to them in verse 31 and 32. Our Lord repeats his commission from chapter 4. People who are not sick don't need a doctor, or at least they don't think they're sick. Sick people need a doctor. I've not come to call those who think they're righteous. I've come to call those who know that they're sinners. I've called them to repentance, those that know there's only hope in Jesus for forgiveness of sins. I've called them to a new life full of hope and forgiveness. You see, there's no salvation for those who think they're good enough or they think they can do enough to warrant God's favor. No, salvation is for those who understand that they're sinners and that they're sinners before a holy God and that the Lord Jesus Christ was the substitutionary sacrifice that took their place, and by bowing to his authority in their life, they're saved from their sin. The outcome of this conversion is new life, a life that brings joy because of the relationship with the bridegroom. They were worried they were having too much fun at this party. They should have had long faces. And we as Christians shouldn't have long faces. We shouldn't be glum. We should be thankful and joyful that we've met the Savior and we've got a new life. And we're not carrying the chains around and the big ball and chain anymore, but we're free to enjoy what God has given to us. They didn't like that. This new life in Christ brings salvation and security. In place of trying to work hard at making yourself right before God and ultimately being disappointed, we can be made righteous through Jesus and experience a life worth living. See, Jesus made that declaration in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He says, I've come to give life. Others want to give you something that they think is life, but they're nothing but thieves. But I've come to give you life and give you that more abundantly. Life given by the one that is the life giver. My last point is, why should we return to the old? Verses 36 to 39. The Lord does some teaching now about this new life by grace and the dangers of returning to the old part, the things they used to do. And the Lord teaches this through a parable that he speaks starting in verse 36. A parable is an allegory, a story or illustration that teaches one or more instructive lessons. Our old school Sunday school teachers used to describe it as this. It was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. How true is that? It's very true. Well, this parable goes on to tell us about fabric and about wine. Well, I don't know much about sewing, but I do know that putting new fabric into a piece of old fabric is a bad idea. The new will shrink, and not only have you ruined the spot where you took the new fabric from, but now the patch area will be ruined as soon as you wash it. It'll shrink up. So the old worn fabric with the new don't go together. I do know about making wine. I know that once the fermentation process starts, you need good barrels or good containers to withstand the working of the chemical reactions. If you put new wine into old wineskins that are brittle and dry, they won't take the pressure. It has to be new wineskins that'll have some elastic capability, and it'll be able to expand and be flexible. So it is with God's plan of grace. The new covenant that was established by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be mixed with the old covenant under law. The old covenant pointed forward to the Messiah who would come and by his death, burial, and resurrection would establish a new and living way of salvation by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself, not of works. This is a gift from God. John chapter 1 and verse 17, we read about this, that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came from the life giver, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're clearly told that Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and this is the will of the Father. He takes away the first, the old covenant, that he may establish the second, the new covenant. And the verse goes on to say, by that we will have been set apart or sanctified through the offering of Jesus Christ once and for all. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 12 talk about the old and the new. And every priest stand ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins. The ceremonial law and all that it was necessary, but it could never take away sin. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, never to repeat that sacrifice again, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus is telling the Pharisee and all those who were listening that, listen, there's a new way, and I'm the new way. Remember John chapter 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, the words of Jesus Christ. Don't try to add something to God's plan of grace. Don't pick and choose a little bit of old and a little bit of new. You'll end up with a garment that's falling apart. You'll end up with wineskins that are exploding. No, the new has a new and living way that the old is no longer there, but the old is no longer there, but the new is being established through Jesus Christ. There's no life in the old, but there's life in the new. This man, after he offered sacrifice for sin once, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Aren't you amazed and thankful this morning that we worship and praise and pray to and follow a living Savior who reigns in the power of an endless life, the life giver, Jesus Christ? We're going to listen to Andrew Peterson now as there's a video of a song that he sings, Is He Worthy? And just listen to the words as it depicts the need for this world and the only one that can fill the need, and that is Jesus Christ.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Creation groaning.
It
is a new creation coming.
It
is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move? And is Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Slay.
Well, the Lord is worthy of our faith and trust. The Lord is the only one who can bring peace and joy to this needy, sin-sick world. If you look around at the situations of racial unrest, even in our own country, where we don't give those who should be given respect, across this country where we have divides because of culture and because of color, because of ethnicity, because of wherever you've come from, thank God that Jesus has broken down that wall of partition. He's broken down that, and there's neither free nor slave. There's neither male nor female, Greek nor Jewish person. We're all one in Christ, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for breaking down that wall. He brings peace and he brings joy to such need. And he's calling today. He's calling for you and I to come to him. Come for healing. Come for cleansing. Come to receive sight for our spiritual blindness. Come to bring joy in life and a life that's worth living. Let's respond like Levi. Let's leave what cannot satisfy. And let's follow the only one who can satisfy our souls. Let's pray together, and I just ask the Lord will bless you today as you're somewhat isolated. Maybe you're getting together with family. Maybe you're increasing your bubble a bit, but we just ask each one to be safe, and we ask that the Lord will bless each one and their families as they've shared with us this morning. Let's pray to our Heavenly Father. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for the clarity that you've given to us. We thank you for the introduction, the revelation of Jesus Christ to our dark souls. Lord, we thank you that he's come to give life, and we thank you that by trusting in him, we can attain that life. Lord, thank you for that free gift. We ask, Lord, this blessing to each one that's listening, that if they don't know this eternal security of Jesus Christ, that they will trust today, that they will bow that need of repentance before a holy God, and that they will trust Jesus for their own refuge. Lord, for us that know him but maybe are a little bit cold and we're just getting a little bit stale in our faith, Lord, revive us again. Remind us of the fire that burned when we first saw you and our chains fell off. Lord, thank you for the revelation of your spirit into our life, and we ask for the power of your spirit to work in great ways amongst us. Lord, we thank you that as we enjoy Christ this morning, for those that are on fire for the Lord, that you would continue to fan this, Lord, and help us to be relevant to this world that needs you. Help us to be the voice. Help us to be the one to bring others to Jesus. Thank you for a changed life. Thank you for a call, and thank you that the new is so much better than the old. We thank you for Jesus. As we ask these things, giving honor and glory to the only name that is worthy, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.